Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Boom.
On this, the fourth Sunday of Lent 2018, we're journeying ever so closer to the cross, which then means ultimately to Easter Sunday, the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Today's lectionary reading comes from the Gospel of John once again, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. It's part of that segment. They kind of cut the middle of the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Right? It's the latter half of that conversation Jesus is having with Nicodemus. But if we can get someone to read verses 14 through 21 of chapter 3 in John, I'd certainly appreciate it.
Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gives his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for the fear of their deeds will be exposed. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. All right, gentlemen. I'd like for you to share with our listening audience what this scripture is speaking to you, your responses to that. And maybe, if you can, relate it to what we've been doing in our Lenten study in the Gospel of Mark, and where we come thus far, if there's some connections there. All right. Who would like to share first?
I'm going to get a last part here, 21. He talks about everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to the denial and illusion, hates God, light, and won't come near it, fearing painful exposure. Anyone living in truth and reality becomes godly, so the work can be seen for God, work as it is. That's just when I want to just pick out things for myself, daily, practical stuff. When I tell other people, like, everything I do, I try to describe it in a light. Like, no longer, I don't need to live a lie. I don't know, I know who I am, you know, I know what I'm doing, and I don't have to, it's open book, so I don't care. You know, I don't have nothing to worry about. People can say what they have to say. And it happens to happen yesterday. It happens to happen. People have got these old crazy ideas. When it comes down to it, boil it down, everything's done in the light. There's nothing to hide. That's the liberation. I always come back to that liberation. I'm free. My brain's not handcuffed somewhere. I don't care if I'm on probation. I don't care if I'm walking it all out. Because everything I'm doing, it's all for everybody to see. You can pick it apart as you want. And I think that's what he's getting. When you're doing this godly, you're doing that godly, when you're on this Jesus thing, your whole life, like, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to hide from this exposure. You don't expose it.
Yeah, okay.
So it helps people, it heals people.
Right.
Exposure of what? Of Mosher.
Exposure of Mosher. Okay. All right. Yeah, he's going to run with that one. That's good.
Okay. It's talking about exposure for him.
No. No, I think you're right.
He's got something about exposure, like film.
I just kind of look at it as like the old school way of developing film, you know? So, like, you look at it, a lot of times we see, we might be down in the dumps or whatever, we might be depressed, or we might be seeing, you know, our life isn't going the way we want it, so, you know, but we can see other people doing that. We see people living the life, you know, that we want, or we want to do, follow. So you kind of take that picture of it, but you can either stay in that, stay in the film can stay, the picture can stay inside that film role, or you can go through the process of developing it, you know? So you go into that dark room where, you know, it's just a red light in there, and you're seeing parts of your life come together, but you haven't mixed the right chemicals, right, to start bringing out why you're in that darkness. So why you're deeply depressed or whatever. So you haven't found the reasons that you haven't really brought out what's happening in your life, the trauma, the abuse and things like that. So, but as you start to bring that out, the film is developed, and then you bring it into the light, and then you can see the full exposure to the real love in your life. You can really find, you can then share that with others so people can see your real love.
And I think both of you are correct, particularly I started this mentioning that this is really the middle point of the conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus. So we're going to back up to earlier in chapter 3. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, right, curious about Jesus, comes to him at night in the dark because he's afraid of being exposed. So we end here going, look it. You know, if you really want to be part of me, you got to be doing this stuff in the light. Right? Not in the dark. Now we know the end of the John's Gospel, Nicodemus shows up and, in the light and helps bury Jesus. So, but yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Who else?
You know, I focus on the same two verses. I have a way of looking at life that's strange sometimes. So the blessing of addiction or the blessing of living a majority of my life in the dark is now that I know that's the blessing. Everything I did was evil. Everything I did was dark in a sense of I thought it was cool. I kind of laughed at things about God, church, whatever. And I did things opposite of that intentionally. And the weirdest thing is a lot of times I didn't know that's what I was doing. But it was just like anything good, quote unquote good, that was like normal. I was like, I didn't want any part of it. Right? And it literally took getting to the bottom of that barrel. Addiction and all that stuff taking me down there, jail, overdoses, suicide attempts, all that stuff, to see the light, in a sense, not in some mystical, magical way, in a sense of getting some picture, but it was literally like, now that I know what it means to see the light, it's like, there's another way. I mean, there would be no dark without light, first of all, because it casts a shadow on everything. You know, you can't measure something that there is nothing to measure against. Right? The light of my life now is how the last verse I kind of in my mind is interpreted is. But man, if you ain't willing to admit to make confessions, if you ain't willing to admit it, you're not in the light. If you have things that you're not willing to admit, and you know it's in the sight of God, but you're not willing to admit it, you're not doing His will. So the fact that you are able to confess that, to me, is a fruit of your belief in God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll run with that. Good, thank you. Who else?
I think as co-heirs with Christ, we are sent after Jesus to participate in the saving work of the world. Because I don't believe God sent Jesus down here to die and do all the work Himself. He didn't send His Son to condemn the world, but to save it. Because God's not the one doing any condemnation. We were condemning ourselves when we refused to claim our identity as His beloved sons and co-heirs. But now we participate in that saving work, first and foremost by the power of grace and faith, and the sanctification, and secondary, by the power of Christ-like works. I don't know, that's just...
I think you know, your insight there is huge, particularly for those of us here at Neighbors of Hope's Life Change Program, where we've had issues with addiction in the past, and we've got all these emotional wounds and things like that, that we kind of, you're absolutely right, we spend a lot of time condemning ourselves. This ought to be a very liberating scripture for us, right? That God's not looking to condemn you. God loves you, and here's how. This is the expression of that. So stop condemning yourself. That's empowering, if you ask me. That's liberating. Good. That's good. Is there something else you want to add?
No.
Did I take the words out of your mouth? I'm sorry. Hey, right, anybody else?
My way of looking at it is stop beating yourself up. Don't hang it over your head. Everybody else will do it for you. You know, that's what they did to Jesus, and if we reflect that and we're being disciples, we don't have to beat ourselves up. Now, we do have to take responsibility for our actions.
Sure.
We don't have to beat ourselves up. Everybody else will do it for us.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we got to put our past in the past. Even in 12-step programs, you know, we'll talk about it. I do not regret the past, nor do I shut the door on it. So we're not going to be in denial. We never did anything. But the same thing, we're not going to allow, in a sense, that part of the past to control our present. Otherwise, we won't really be able to participate in the eternal life that John's talking about here. Right? Sometimes we can get so far in our past that it consumes us with guilt. Right? When you get so far in our future, it gets us really nervous and stressful. In doing that, we forget to live today. Yeah. We miss all the blessings that come from today.
Can I also say a part, you know, going on in my life right now, that it's life's not simple. Well, it's simple, it's just very complicated at the same time. Like, I got this
simply thing, complicated.
I got this thing that keeps happening, keeps coming up in my life that really has nothing to do with me. Just the fact that the guilt is being forced onto me for something I didn't do. And it's a reoccurring thing that I'm trying to be convinced to, in a sense, admit to something. And I was told by a wise person, if you didn't do it, if it's not true, don't live that way. Why live like it's true? You don't have to. But it's this weird thing. So now I'm trying to balance. It's not my past. It's something that somebody thinks is my past being thrown in my face. That's the hard one. Because I immediately want to get up and defend myself for something I didn't even do. And that's what Jesus, we look at that story of the cross, is Jesus is, he's not defending himself for all this other stuff. You know, why would I?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, both of them. Thank you. We got a few more minutes. You want to try and run us out of here?
I had something. Now I can't think of it.
Okay, you have some?
I was thinking of the part where Moses lifted up the bronze serpent.
Yes.
And about how the Israelites were tired of the way, the journey, and how they complained there was no water, did not like the food they were given. And so God sent the serpents. And then God had Moses lift up the serpent so that they would be healed. Well, I think of that in my life as the way is difficult. The way is hard. Struggles come. And God can lift up those very struggles for everyone who can see, and then God is greater than believing the promises of God. But having those struggles caused me to reflect and repent. And it's the mercies of God that caused me to reflect and repent on the struggles and on the way. Because on the journey before I became a Christian, and on the journey of a Christian, both were difficult.
Right.
And God was
that's good.
Was merciful in both. My addiction brought me to God. People, a lot of times people don't say no good in my addiction. I would never get to God, in my opinion, if it wasn't for my addiction. So for Him to cause that to happen, and then to lift up something for me to look to have faith in Him, what brought me to him.
I like the analogy. Do you remember?
No.
Oh boy, you must be getting old. So in closing, maybe I have the one question. I mean, we're all familiar with that John 3:16 thing, right? It's all about this love God has, right? Expressed through Jesus, with the invitation to eternal life. Right. And we've studied in him before that the Jewish community and theology would understand that eternal life has to do with not something that's landed in the future, right? But the here and now, because that's just what eternal is. It just always is, right? Hey, we're living here in Lent of 2018. We are literally the future of Lent in 1918. But that was still eternity to God. Are you with me? In this Lent season, then, how do you feel you're doing participating in the eternal life in the present? Until we meet next time, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.